This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dude.
I guess you've got a point there.
This is Sports Sunday.
Hey, Skidmark Steve.
Hey, dude.
You still just hanging out playing Nintendo?
Well, if you must know, I'm in my second year of med school, and I'm training for the summer games. What are you two up to?
Just hanging out, playing Nintendo.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
You think Shaq got rich playing in Orlando? Hardly. He made his fortune moving to L.A. You know how much he makes now?
As much as he made playing in college?
What? No.
Now, here are Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
What happened out there?
You know, it was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Thanks, Doug. And so...
Hey, want to do an interview with me?
No.
With Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Bob, in all my years of calling games, I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples.
Hour number two, Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan, Odyssey app, YouTube, Twitch, soon to be OnlyFans.
Are we really?
Why not?
They got like cooking shows on there and stuff.
It's another revenue stream for like, the station.
Like clean, I mean clean stuff, like people with clothes on trying
well,
to.
Well, who
like,
wants that?
I'll show some nip.
Okay, never mind.
Who wants that? Like, who wants clean OnlyFans?
Nips on Sports Sunday. We could try that.
Yeah. 1080 the OnlyFans.
Is that really a thing? Like, people won't just go to OnlyFans and
I'll show feet.
With shirts on?
I'm wearing flip-flops today.
Pants?
These are just the ads that I have seen on X, because, you know, I'm pretty sure since...
I'm sure we got some feet freaks listening to us.
Oh, there's many. We don't kink shame here at 1080 The Fan. No, but since Elon allowed pretty much anything on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, there have been ads that I've seen from OnlyFans, but promoting, like, hey, there's a cooking competition between these three... "quote unquote creators," but their clothes are going to be on.
X like, is cares? Nothing but porn.
On. Come on.
X is nothing but porn. Like I'm scrolling through, it's like, man, who are these? I don't even follow them. Who are they?
Oh man, yeah. You look.
Who is this?
Look at the comments and mentions on some tweets. It's just like, okay, wasn't expecting to see that. You know, not particularly upset about it, but
cool. Like,
I mean, you're gonna get me in trouble one of these days.
I'll get a notification every morning. It's like, oh. Show me your best butt pics. I'm like, bro, like, where'd this come from?
Well, the algorithm.
And then
might
I click
be,
on it. And then know. I click on it. I'm like, okay.
And that's exactly why they keep sending you those notifications, Rashad.
Okay, let's see them.
Oh, I've already been right next to my wife scrolling, and one of those, well, like three of those kind of pictures pop up, and I'm like, what the hell is happening here?
Yeah.
But let me watch that again.
Yeah, but well, yeah, let's scroll back up.
All right. In typical 1080 The Fan fashion, we come back from commercial break and basically got to take it. One.
Yeah.
I do want to remind people of the poll question that is on 1080 The Fan right now, the Sports Sunday poll question. And feel free to interact with us on the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. Treat you right before, during, and after the sale. All that jazz. The poll question is brought to you by Tom Peterson and Glorious 2.
Family place to buy.
Who of these Blazer players do you think will be moved first? I try to throw in a little ringer in there, and it's not doing great. Anfernee Simons, Jeremy Grant, Robert Williams right now. They are jockeying for position. Matisse Thybulle was my wild card I threw in there, getting a whopping 4.5%. Anfernee Simons, 35.2%. Robert Williams, 31.8%. Jeremy Grant, 28.4%. But what I want to do with you guys is a little game before, during, or after. I'm going to name some Blazer players in this next segment, and we are going to decide, are they moved before the season, during the season, or after the season.
Oh, that's fun. Okay.
I got five names for you, and most of them are on this poll question, but we will play this next and find out.
Do I get to win $50,000 like password, please?
We will talk to the promotions team. We'll check some spreadsheets. We'll see what our contesting is looking like. But I'm going to go on a limb and say no.
Damn it.
No. We will do that next, though. We've got some Blazer players. Will they be on the team before, during, and after the season? And you can play along with us on the text line as well. Again, Vancouver Forward text line, 503-864-6326. We get to that next year. Sports Sunday, 10 of the Fan. All right. I got five Blazer players here for you.
Let's go.
Brian Grant. No.
Current.
Okay.
Blazers right. players.
Rasta Monster.
I miss Brian Grant. Man, those rebounds, dude. He could get in and beat anybody for a rebound back in the day.
All right. We got five players for you here. I want to know, are they going to be traded, sent to another team before, during, or after this season? My first player that I have on this list, Jeremy Grant. Before, during, or after, Rashad?
After.
You think he will be on the team for the entire season?
Yes. After.
You think after?
Yeah.
Jordan.
I'm going to say during. I believe he will be traded at the deadline. I think that is when teams will be looking for that stretch 3-4 combo. I've said this many times here on 1080. If Dallas had Jeremy Grant on their team, they would have taken the Boston Celtics to Game 7 in the NBA Finals. And that's going to be an attractive piece. And I think the Blazers are going to wait until midseason when teams will pay the most for that ransom that they would like.
I'm going to say before on this, I'm going to say that the Blazers are going to, and this was kind of going to be my part that I maybe allude to in the next segment to sort of wrap things up, is we seem to like these moves of Donovan Klingon and Denny Avdija, right? We need to keep in mind, yeah, they may be great moves, but we still need to suck next year. Okay. So let's make the moves necessary to ensure that. As in getting rid of a guy that can score 20-plus, 25-plus a game for us, and that is Jeremy Grant. And there are some teams in the league that are desperate for that type of offensive production and his length and his athleticism, and teams that are contending right now that would like to have him. I know he's been kind of whispered to Dallas possibly wanting his services. I don't know what the chances of him going back to the 76ers. I don't know if the Clippers would be interested, what the case would be, but I think Jeremy Grant, a team is going to want him on their roster to start the year versus halfway through the year, which again would be a great addition. But as we've seen with teams, that having a new addition takes time and it is not instantaneous. So getting him before the season acclimated with your stars and your players, I think is key for a team that wants Jeremy Grant on their roster. So I say before. Rashad says after the season. Jordan, during. Our next Blazers player, Anfernee Simons. Before, during, or after, Rashad?
Before. I think Simons has been, and we talked about it last week on the show, Simons said he wants to win, and he wants to be competitive now. And if we're being honest, like, you can get a lot for Jeremy Grant, but I think you can get something for Anfernee Simons too.
Get something, yes. I feel like we're a little bit, just as a fan base, I think what we think we can get for Anfernee Simons is not what we are going to.
Oh, no.
I don't mean that in a great way. I think it's going to be much less.
And here's the cool part. It's never what we're going to, like, it's never what we want. Like, it's always something that, but it's never what we want. And that's just what it is to be a Blazer fan. So we can get something in return for him. Like, I think for Damian Lillard, cool. We got all this draft capital and stuff like that, but it's not what we wanted, right? We wanted, like, another good player in return, or maybe a couple of good players in return. We didn't get that, but what we got is draft capital. So that's just the way it's going to be. Like, we're never going to get what we want in these trades. So, but I do think that Simons has at least been not vocal, but he's at least said something about not wanting to stay in a rebuild, right? And so I think when you have a player that's saying, I want more, it would make sense, you know, especially considering free agency that's happening right now. You got all these teams that are looking for sign and trades and stuff for certain guys. I think he would be right in that mix to get traded prior to the season starting. And then because you have, unlike Jeremy Grant, we don't have a bunch of 6'8 wings on the team that can play like that. We've got a bunch of 6'3 guards already, right? And so that's the one thing. You can part ways with somebody like Anfernee Simons sooner than later. I don't want to because I think Simons is a guaranteed bucket. However, that guaranteed bucket doesn't matter when you're already losing by 20.
Before, during, or after the season, Jordan?
I'm going to have to go with what Rashad says, and just really quickly, I didn't know that, like, I understand, like, great players trying to dictate their way to, like, a certain team or say, hey, it's time for me to want to win, you know? I mean, Ant is a good NBA player, but good Lord, he's 25. I just hate the comments from him, like, or any good NBA player for that matter. It's just like, bro, are you really to the level of greatness where you can make these comments in the media? Like, who cares? Anyways. After that, if you don't trade Ant, there are literally minutes that are being hogged from Shaedon Sharpe and from Scoot Henderson. And I do believe, I've heard Danny Morang say it's not the best plan to throw them right out there. It's actually going to hurt their long-term development and hinder them as they try to grow. But I do think that the most minutes available for those two is the best plan for Portland going forward, regardless of what Chauncey wants to do with the rest of the roster or if it's going to be interim coach Bjorkgren by game 40. I do think that you got to get Ant off the roster now. So before.
I am going to say during. I don't know if it's going to be trade deadline or very long, but like into the season. But I think that they're going to showcase him for a few weeks and get that value up a little bit more because I feel like right now that because we're not in season, that it's not that front of mind like, oh, this dude's a flamethrower, microwave. He can get you buckets. He can just go off from three. And a team is going to be intrigued by seeing that early in the season. Whether that's Orlando that ends up making that move, that's the one team that has been talked about a lot being linked to him. But
playoff team, right?
Yeah, exactly. Looking to make that next step. As far as the whole throwing Scoot and Shaedon to the Wolves, do it. I mean, it's one of those things where it's almost like a quarterback in the NFL as well. It's like, how good do you know they are? Well, we've seen some good reps in practice. Some of the things that they're working on behind the scenes, we've seen some progress. I think they're improving. Okay, cool. But if you get them into the game and they don't know what the hell they're doing, they're not showing those signs of improvement, it doesn't really matter what's mm-hmm. happening behind the scenes, training facility, practice.
All
right?
These fools are called to practice.
So one player, and I don't, you know, he's not my favorite player, but Devin Booker, he talks about one of the things that helped him grow as a player the most is during those really bad years in Phoenix, his first few years, is that he was played as much as possible. I think Earl Watson was one of the coaches, someone else, but they said, no, you're going to play and you're going to play a lot and you're going to learn what it takes to play in the NBA. I think that having Scoot, Shaedon out there as much as possible, getting those minutes is imperative. And that's why I say getting Simons out there for the first few weeks to get that trade value up will be key, but you do not want that to last into December, January, no. February. Yeah. That's I forget when the trade deadline is exactly, but yes, you do not
February-ish.
Yeah, you do not want that lasting that long into the season having Simons on the team. So I say during. All right, next player, Robert Williams. Before, during, or after? Gosh, now that I think about it, this segment could have been brought to you by Vancouver Ford. For
there
God's
you
sakes.
Go. I love it.
But Robert Williams, Time Lord, is he going to be on the team before or get traded before the season, during the season, or after the season?
I think it's going to be before. I think Robert will, especially after drafting Donovan Clingan. Now you've got two legit, quote unquote, legit bigs that you have down low that you can use however you want to. Robert Williams already had the injury issue, and there are a lot of teams that are probably looking for some more size. And I think, again, when you talk about what the Blazers need to be successful, at this point, I don't think it's more bigs. You know, you went from being one of the smallest teams in the league, like you mentioned, Jordan, to one of the biggest in a night. And so now that you are one of the biggest, like, I think Robert Williams is probably the one outlier there as far as those bigs that you can make a move for and potentially get, whether it's draft capital or maybe even another 3-and-D guy or whatever the case is. But I think Robert Williams is something that a lot of teams would be interested in to start the season.
Before, during, or after this season, Jordan?
I'm going after. You still got, 2 years left on his contract. It's not a terrible rate. It's like 10 to 12-ish million dollars. And that size coming off the bench, I mean, there are still 25-ish minutes that you've got to fill in that kind of 4-5 combo. So I like Robert Williams on the team. I think he adds another layer to your D that you haven't had since Ed Davis, you know, was on your team getting a bunch of rebounds. I miss that down low banger feel, and I'm not sure that Ayton's, I mean, he's great on the offensive end, he's great on the defensive end when he wants to be, but Robert Williams is just that effort guy. I kind of jokingly brought up Brian Grant in the last segment. I feel like that's kind of what Robert Williams is comparable to. Just solid effort is always going to body you, and then can clean up on the glass too. I don't think that that's worth trading away, and his value needs to increase after that injury. I think teams would be a little hesitant to give up anything more than couple second rounders. The Blazers don't need more future second rounders. If anything, you better get some first for Robert Williams, and that's why I think they're going to take this entire season, and then they're going to see what they got with him and maybe flip him or keep him, try to re-sign him and put him in as a long-term piece in Portland beyond the 2025 draft. Can we say him with Cooper Flag, anybody?
Well, he's an interesting player because, yeah, if you bring him back and he looks like he's his old self,
yeah,
then I mean, as far as age goes, Robert Williams is scrolling.
Still only 26. Almost 27.
So, I mean, as far as, like, age timeline goes, I mean, he's been on some good Celtics team where he might be good for a veteran presence, but also that's what I was saying about if he comes back and looks like his old self, if not better, it's like you might be able to get something out of him too. So I think it's kind of in the Anthony Simons camp where it's like keep him on the team enough to showcase that he is back, he's healthy, he's back to his old self and how he can play and perform, and then you trade him as well during the season. I think that this is one of those where, again, you can't be good this year. So if you have a player like Jeremy Grant playing well to start the year, if say everybody stays healthy and this team starts playing better than they should, like this is not the year where that needs to happen. And this is a team, a franchise that you need to build through the draft. So do not have this, don't play around this season. Like do not mess this up. You have some great talent at the top of next year's draft board where you cannot put yourself in a position to be kind of middling and being one of those teams even entertaining a play-in spot. So showcase some of these players, Anthony Simons, Robert Williams, get Grant out of here before the season starts and suck. Like it just, this is what has to happen this year. So Robert Williams, you need to bring him back for a little bit of the season to show that he is healthy. He can play, he's good to go, and he can help another team that again is in a contending spot and needs a player like him. All right. DeAndre Ayton, before, during, or after the season?
Ooh.
I'll start on this one. I think after. I think he goes the full year on this team, and then you look to do something with him next year, because I think that he finished the year well. He's on a semi-decent contract as the time is right now and as time goes on with the salary cap. But, you know, if he has another year in a full sample size compared to how he finished the year last year, is that he's going to be wanting more money. And is that a guy that you really want to hook your wagon to and giving all that money to? No, I would want to get rid of him after this year, showcase him a bit again, but give him that full sample size of a season to show a team that he can contribute over a full 82 games versus having these up and down roller coaster moments, depending on his mood and his emotions, because I feel like it's definitely one of those. Someone got into his head last year and said, like, dude, you need to start showing up, playing harder, and showing that you can showcase yourself on the offensive end and defensive. And, again, I don't know who it was, who that whisperer was to him, but he started doing that. And I think if you can get him to do a full 82, then you can get hopefully a good return on him following the season next year.
I'm going to go D. None of the above. I don't think he's going anywhere. I think DeAndre
he'll be on the team even next year.
I think he'll be on the team next year. I think the way DeAndre Ayton played towards the end of the season is what they were waiting to see in Phoenix, and they didn't quite get it. You got a guy who was able to hit that, you know, that little mid-range jump shot. You got a guy that was able to back people down. You got a guy that was able to finish on the lob, finish on the on the pick and roll, and then can run the pick and pop. I think he's finally becoming the player that everybody thought he would be when he was drafted first overall. And when you have a guy that's finally starting to realize, and Ayton's what, 25 now? 24, 25? Somewhere around there?
25.
25? Yeah. I don't think they're letting him go, you know, especially considering the way that he's playing, albeit the team wasn't great, obviously, last year to end the season. But if there's one bright spot of this Blazers roster last year, it was the way DeAndre Ayton played after he came back from injury. After that, he was by far and away the best player on the team. Scoot Henderson's last 15 games of the season were brilliant. Like, he was able to finally show how good he was. And I think DeAndre Ayton for the last, like, 30 games of the season showed that, oh, if possible, he can probably be the second or third best big man in the Western Conference. And so I don't think he's going anywhere. D, none of the above.
I like that answer. DeAndre is a little tougher for me because you kind of have to weigh his success versus the team's, right? You really don't want him to be playing super, super well. But you also, as you say, the value of his contract is going to get pretty stupid here in a couple of years. So why not, if you do have a trade offered to you? I don't think you're going to hand him a $50 million a year contract here in 2027. Why not take a deal? Why not, if he has a great first half of the year, midseason, trade deadline, somebody really needs that centerpiece and gives you a couple of first rounders, I'd take that deal. So I'm saying hopefully midseason if it works out, because I feel like DeAndre Ayton is the biggest question mark of all of these guys.
Okay, and apparently my option of putting Matisse Thybulle on the poll question was stupid. He is 4.1%. It keeps decreasing, so it looks like he's probably just going to be on the team.
Nobody
the
really
time.
Wants Matisse Thybulle like that. Let's just be real. Like, I mean,
hey, his defense is—he's one of the better defenders.
He is, but I mean, I think Matisse Thybulle—he gets—we forgot he was on the roster. I forgot he was on the team.
So I'm saying you can just trade him anyway.
Yeah. So.
It's a contract year for him, so that's obviously the next summer. That's why the Blazers may be looking to move him, is because he's going to turn down that option, which leaves the Blazers getting nothing for him if they don't trade him.
So. Yeah, if you're Matisse Thybulle, like,
you don't want to play here anyway. You come from Philly.
He seems like a great kid.
He wanted to play in Dallas when he ended up re-signing the restricted free agent contract with the Blazers.
But that's where, again, like, if there's a team out there that needs that length, that defensive prowess, that might be a during the season or after the season move right there. But again, he has a player option. So that's where I'm like, get something for him now, because are you really going to have him, depending on what his value is? And we'll find out that next year, because he's got to decline that player option and see how much he can get. Because if he's only getting 11.5 next year on that player option, I would think if you were him, you feel, and I think that he can get more than that on a contract.
For sure.
All right, let's take a break. Get back on the clock here. Talk about some impending free agents around the league. We have one player that the era might be over. We get to that next here. Jordan Schultz, SportsCenter update first. Well, an era is coming to an end soon. The Splash Brothers are going to be no more. Because the report's coming out that Golden State and Klay Thompson are not going to agree on terms. And he will become a free agent on the market looking for a new home.
Then why the hell did Steve Kerr say that we can't have a Warriors team without Klay Thompson? Can I just say that people...
I don't know. When he said that, that was also very much... I was like, yes, you can. Trust me, you can.
People get so trapped, and this is not just in the world of sports. Parents, kids, everybody does it in every walk of life. We all get so trapped in the moment trying to say something to make somebody happy or make the right thing, you know, like get across in whatever you're trying to say. Guess what? Words matter, and for some reason, in this situation, you just kind of treated them like they didn't, because you're blatantly lying. I hate it. Stop the pandering. We know what's going on. Now we know, really, he's not going to be back. What the hell were you doing, Steve? I digress. Sorry.
Well, also, I think that Steve, I mean, he can't make roster decisions. He can maybe help guide them, but he's not the one that ultimately pulls the trigger on them.
Which is BS, but yeah, keep going.
I mean, again, he probably has some influence, you know, that's, but also, I do know that, like, we saw him last year. We saw where his career is headed. Klay thinks that the best years are ahead of him, which is just not true. But granted, as Rashad said during a commercial break a bit ago, what else are you going to say? It's understandable what Steve Kerr wants him back on the team. It's like, what world do you know without Steph Curry and Draymond and Klay Thompson? That's been your team for a decade, nearly. So I understand why he wants him back on the team, and it's hard to envision a team without him, but it's just not, it's not working anymore. So, and it's going to be a new team for Klay Thompson. Rashad, I see you have a graphic up on your computer right now.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of what team, you know, is it the Lakers? Is it the Clippers? Is it the Mavericks who have been talked about as one of the teams that are in on him? You brought up the Nuggets. I said that, I think it was Nuggets during commercial break as well. I don't think that is a player that you want on the Nuggets. Just, you know, keep rolling with who you got for the Denver Nuggets. Whether you get Kentavious Caldwell-Pope back, I don't know. But this is about Klay Thompson and where he's going to go at in the future. What's crazy to me is to think that he is going to get probably like at least 20 mil a year.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
That, to, from what you've been, what we've been seeing the last couple of years, to me is just like, that is just, that's a wild number, but it's probably going to happen.
Yeah. And so there's a lot happening with this Klay deal, because Klay could decide to stay in Golden State if he wanted to take a lesser role. Right, you can come off the bench, still stay in Golden State, still play as a splash brother, still probably play some significant minutes, you know, and be able to be a part of a championship culture. That's what you. That's what he could do. Klay still feels like he is starter. He still feels like he's an all-star. He's, and, you know, Grant Hill came back from some injuries and was still an all-star twice in Orlando and in Phoenix. So it's not impossible for it to happen, right? And when you can shoot like Klay can shoot, you're never going to forget, you know, he can be in the league for the next 15 years because he can shoot, you know, the basketball.
Well, I wouldn't say
he's not going to. He's not going to. But Klay's what, 30, 33, 34, something like that, 33?
I can imagine somewhere around
around there. So he can play for another 6 years and in a smaller role, but he doesn't want to do that. He still believes, like he said, his best years are still ahead of him. We understand that that's not the case, right? We understand that his best years are behind him, as he's going to go down as one of the greatest shooters this league has ever seen. Like, we've seen Klay put up 30 and a quarter, no problem, off jumpers. We saw him put up like 27 with no dribbles. Like, Klay has a crazy bag as far as like shooting the ball. However, I just think he can't be the second option on a team anymore, or even the third option. So even with Paul George potentially leaving the Clippers, that means Klay would potentially be the second or third option on that Clippers team.
Oh, dear.
Probably
God.
Not going to work, right? On the Lakers need way more help than Klay Thompson. That's probably not going to work. Dallas, potentially, you know, they might have been able to use some shooting, you know, in the finals, you know, from Klay. But, you know, he's not able to make the moves that he was once able to make. And Klay, the one great thing about him that we don't give him enough credit for, at a point, he was arguably the best two-way player in the league. At a point, yeah, Klay Thompson was a beast on defense.
One of them.
Yeah, that's arguable, right? Yeah. Look at him, Kawhi, Jimmy Butler.
Well, an era is coming to an end soon. The Splash Brothers are going to be no more. Because the report's coming out that Golden State and Klay Thompson are not going to agree on terms. And he will become a free agent on the market looking for a new home.
Then why the hell did Steve Kerr say that we can't have a Warriors team without Klay Thompson? Can I just say that people...
I don't know. When he said that, that was also very much... I was like, yes, yes, you can. Trust me, you can.
People get so trapped, and this is not just in the world of sports. Parents, kids, everybody does it in every walk of life. We all get so trapped in the moment trying to say something to make somebody happy or make the right thing, you know, like get across in whatever you're trying to say. Guess what? Words matter, and for some reason, in this situation, you just kind of treated them like they didn't. Because you're blatantly lying, I hate it, stop the pandering, we know what's going on, now we know, really, he's not going to be back. What the hell were you doing, Steve? I digress, sorry.
Well, also, I think that Steve, I mean, he can't make roster decisions, he can maybe help guide them, but he's not the one that ultimately pulls the trigger on them.
Which is BS, but yeah, keep going.
I mean, again, he probably has some influence, you know, that's, but also, I do know that, like, we saw him last year. We saw where his career is headed. Klay thinks that the best years are ahead of him, which is just not true, but granted, as Rashad said during a commercial break a bit ago, what else are you going to say? It's understandable what Steve Kerr wants him back on the team. It's like, what world do you know without Steph Curry and Draymond and Klay Thompson? That's been your team for a decade nearly. So I understand why he wants him back on the team, and it's hard to envision a team without him, but it's just not, it's not working anymore. So, and it's going to be a new team for Klay Thompson. Rashad, I see you have a graphic up on your computer right now.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of what team, you know, is it the Lakers? Is it the Clippers? Is it the Mavericks who have been talked about as one of the teams that are in on him? You brought up the Nuggets. I said that, I think it was the Nuggets during commercial break as well. I don't think that is a player that you want on the Nuggets. Just, you know, keep rolling with who you got for the Denver Nuggets. Whether you get Kentavious Caldwell-Pope back, I don't know. But this is about Klay Thompson and where he's going to go at in the future. What's crazy to me is to think that he is going to get probably like at least 20 mil a year.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
That, to, from what you've been, what we've been seeing the last couple of years, to me is just like, that is just, that's a wild number, but it's probably going to happen.
Yeah. And so there's a lot happening with this Klay deal, because Klay could decide to stay in Golden State if he wanted to take a lesser role, right? You can come off the bench, still stay in Golden State, still play as a splash brother, still probably play some significant minutes, you know, and be able to be a part of a championship culture. That's what he could do. Klay still feels like he is starter. He still feels like he's an all-star. And, you know, Grant Hill came back from some injuries and was still an all-star twice in Orlando and in Phoenix. So it's not impossible for it to happen, right? And when you can shoot like Klay can shoot, you're never going to forget, you know, he can be in the league for the next 15 years because he can shoot, you know, the basketball.
Well, I wouldn't say
he's not going to. He's not going to. But Klay's what, 30, 33, 34, something like that, 33?
I can imagine somewhere around
there. Somewhere around there. So he can play for another 6 years in a smaller role. But he doesn't want to do that. He still believes, like he said, his best years are still ahead of him. We understand that that's not the case, right? We understand that his best years are behind him, as he's going to go down as one of the greatest shooters this league has ever seen. Like, we've seen Klay put up 30 and a quarter. No problem. Off jumpers with no, we saw him put up like 27 with no dribbles. Like, Klay has a crazy bag as far as like shooting the ball. However, I just think he can't be the second option on a team anymore, or even the third option. So even with Paul George potentially leaving the Clippers, that means Klay would potentially be the second or third option on that Clippers team.
Oh, dear.
Probably
God.
Not going to work. Right. On the Lakers need way more help than Klay Thompson. That's probably not going to work. Dallas, potentially, you know, they might have been able to use some shooting, you know, in the finals, you know, from Klay. But, you know, he's not able to make the moves that he was once able to make. And Klay, the one great thing about him that we don't give him enough credit for, at a point, he was arguably the best two-way player in the league. At a point, yeah, Klay Thompson was a beast on defense.
One of them.
Yeah, it's arguable, right?
Yeah.
Him, Kawhi, Jimmy Butler. Like, it was, Klay Thompson was on that list of, you know, two-way players, and the injury just kind of made him something different. I think Denver would be the one team he could go to, and he would be instantly the fourth option. So there's no pressure as a fourth option, right? You know, but when you're the third option, the second option, yes, way more pressure to score. But after Jokic, after Murray, after Michael Porter Jr., after
Aaron
Gordon, yeah, you're possibly the fifth option on that team. That's way less pressure on Klay. And, you know, we talk all the stuff about loyalty in sports. This is where the Warriors could have been loyal to Klay and said, man, we're going to keep you, but it's going to be different. It's going to be, and maybe they did come to him and say, we want you to come off the bench or want you to do this or whatever. And maybe Klay was just like, nah, I'm not with it, you know. But it'd be nice to know, like, what exactly happened there. But they're working on a trade to get him to the team he wants to go to. That's loyalty right there. Like, okay, you've given us four championships. You've given us multiple All-Star game appearances. You've given us great moments in the playoffs. We're going to put you in a position to be successful somewhere else. If they can do that for him, that's great. But, you know, Steve Kerr did lie. There is going to be a Golden State without Klay Thompson. And will they be as good? We'll see.
And this quote from Chris Haynes, I believe the Warriors are probably offering him an annually low 20 mil type of contract, 20 mil per year. Is he willing to walk away from that because he feels disrespected? It looks like he is.
$20 million is disrespect. Like, that's crazy.
Low 20 mil. So that means, I mean, he could be getting a 21, 22, 23 per year, and he feels that he is somewhere in the high 20s, maybe even 30 per year.
That's
and to me,
crazy.
Again, for Klay Thompson at this point in his career, I understand the money's going up in the NBA. I mean, for God's sakes, Emmanuel Quickley, and he's a great player. He's, you know, good age, and he's a really good player for Toronto now. 5 years, $175 million for Emmanuel Quickley.
Who's done nothing. That I mean, Klay Thompson
had some great years.
40 good games with the Raptors. But
I was going to say, he had some good years with New York, and then with that move to Toronto in the Pascal Siakam trade, he showed that he's one of their key players. But, I mean, that's the type of money that's getting thrown around in the league now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, 5 year, 175 for a guy like Emmanuel Quickley, to think that Klay could get close to 30, I wouldn't want to pay that. But again, some of these contenders, teams that are top of the league that need shooting, a la Lakers, a la Mavericks, the 76ers, I also see on that graphic that you got in front of you. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are teams that are trying to win a championship, and shooting is a premium in the NBA. So someone is going to be willing to pay a little bit more for that. And the Warriors, the cap situation that they're in right now, is it just isn't worth it to them. And want to speak of a cap situation and a player that they almost were trying to land via trade, Paul George, who's going to now become a free agent. He has opted out of his $47, $48 million player option. He's going to be coming a free agent and fielding offers from the Clippers, from the 76ers, who have the most cap space in the NBA in this offseason. That's what happens when you get rid of a Tobias Harris contract. But there's teams that feel like they're right there. And then if they get a player of Paul George's caliber or someone that can shoot and go off like Klay Thompson can, then they're going to be willing to pay a premium on that. So Klay Thompson and the Warriors, an era is coming to an end.
So happy about it.
Listen, I'm not upset either. Listen,
hey man,
to see them lose Klay Thompson and also miss out on Paul George, because there was possible talks about Paul George, the Warriors trying to trade for him.
Mm-hmm.
And now that he is going to opt into being a free agent, that takes the Warriors out of the running. They cannot afford him. So,
I love it.
Double L's for the Warriors.
I mean, after almost a decade of dominance, you know, for the Warriors, it's, you know, let's be real. It's been, you know, 8 years, you know, since they won the championship in 2016. And just the way they've done it, Steph Curry has cemented himself as arguably a top five player in this league, you know. And so I'm not mad that the Warriors, they had their run. We got a chance to see history, you know, with this Warriors squad and watch them run over those third quarters. Scary. I've never seen nothing like that. Never seen nothing like the third quarters the Warriors have been able to kind of present every single game. And man, I'm glad this era is over. Got to be real.
All right, we're going to wrap up the show next here, Sports Sunday, 10th the Fan. All right, last couple minutes here on Sports Sunday. I just want to take the time to say, Rashad, whatever you need, man, in this time,
appreciate
hit me
you,
up, call me, you know, I'll come check in on you. I expect you to be at the Fan Golf Classic on July 11th.
I'll try my best. I'll try my best. If I can
get out
of
bed. There in your bed.
No,
man.
I can't tell you guys again how much I appreciate you. Joe, you, Jordan.
And again, dude, I appreciate just your optimism, not on just this, but everything. It's just, the tough thing in life right now is trying to sense when people are not at their best mentally and not in a good mood, or if they got something behind the scenes that's really bugging them. But, and whether that has been the case for you the last however many years I've known you, is that you don't bring any of that here. And you always just have a good attitude, and you're optimistic, and your vibes are always just great. And it's just, you know, and it's coming through now. Again, it's just like you wouldn't even think that, you know, anything's going wrong right now. Because, again, just even talking to you on the phone and a while ago is just like how you're approaching this, man. It's just like, you know, I'm not going to let it bring me down. And so I just I appreciate how you approach life and your sense of optimism, because it's something that I know I need a lot of. I think as I get older, you get in kind of some of those modes where it's a lot of like, I don't care. You know, I just want to, you know, do me, and, you know, I don't really care about a whole lot of things. Your kind of enthusiasm for life and things starts to dwindle with age, but it doesn't seem like that's for you. So
no, man,
I just appreciate your positive attitude, your optimism all the time, and just bringing good chemistry and vibes to everything.
I appreciate you. I appreciate all you guys, man. And, you know, life is short. You know, it's unexpected, you know, a lot of times. So, man, hug your families, hug your wives, girlfriends, husbands, kids. Tell them you love them, you know, and, you know, just approach life with vigor and energy and positivity, you know, all that stuff, man. Do something good for people, you know, do something good in the world, and things will be okay, man. So I'm going to be good, and I love you guys. I love my brothers, you know, in here, and I love all you guys, man. So I appreciate you, and trust me, I'll see y'all soon.
Yeah, I love you too. Of course, you know me as well. Anything you need, man, I'm here for you. My wife, Kendall, and I are here for you.
Appreciate you.
That optimism makes me want to be better. And I love you, brother. You're going to be fine. We're going to have you back here really soon.
Yes, sir.
Yep. I'm going to use a quote from one of my favorite movies, John Q. This isn't goodbye. See you later.
There it is.
Yep. We'll see you soon, man.
There it is.
All right, for Rashad Taylor, Jordan Schultz, I'm Joe Fisher. We will catch you guys next Sports Sunday, and we will catch Rashad again very, very soon, I'm sure.
Yes, indeed.
Again, thank you for everybody that is always listening every Sunday, and we will catch you the following Sunday. Peace. All right, last couple minutes here on Sports Sunday. I just want to take the time to say, Rashad, whatever you need, man, in this time,
appreciate
hit me
you.
Up, call me, you know, I'll come check in on you. I expect you to be at the Fan Golf Classic on July 11th.
I'll try my best. I'll try my best if I can get out
of
bed.
Roll you out there in your bed.
No,
man.
I can't tell you guys again how much I appreciate you, Joe, Jordan.
I appreciate just your optimism, not on just this, but everything. It's just the tough thing in life right now is trying to sense when people are not at their best mentally and not in a good mood, or if they got something behind the scenes that's really bugging them. But, and whether that has been the case for you the last however many years I've known you, is that you don't bring any of that here, and you always just have a good attitude, and you're optimistic, and your vibes are always just great. And it's just, you know, and it's coming through now. Again, it's just like you wouldn't even think that, you know, anything's going wrong right now, because, again, just even talking to you on the phone and a while ago is just like how you're approaching this, man. It's just like, you know, I'm not going to let it bring me down. And so I just I appreciate how you approach life and your sense of optimism, because it's something that I know I need a lot of. I think as I get older, you get in kind of some of those modes where it's a lot of like, I don't care, you know, I just want to, you know, do me, and, you know, I don't really care about a whole lot of things. Your kind of enthusiasm for life and things starts to dwindle with age, but it doesn't seem like that's for you. So
no, man,
I just appreciate your positive attitude, your optimism all the time, and just bringing good chemistry and vibes to everything.
I appreciate you. I appreciate all you guys, man. And, you know, life is short, you know, it's unexpected, you know, a lot of times. So, man, hug your families, hug your wives, girlfriends, husbands, kids. Tell them you love them, you know, and, you know, just approach life with vigor and energy and positivity, you know, all that stuff, man. Do something good for people, you know, do something good in the world, and things will be okay, man. So I'm going to be good, and I love you guys. I love my brothers, you know, in here, and I love all you guys, man. So I appreciate you, and trust me, I'll see y'all soon.
Yeah, I love you too. Of course, you know me as well. Anything you need, man, I'm here for you. My wife, Kendall, and I are here for you.
Appreciate you.
That optimism makes me want to be better. And I love you, brother. You're going to be fine. We're going to have you back here really soon.
Yes, sir.
Yep, I'm going to use a quote from one of my favorite movies, John Q. This isn't goodbye. See you later.
There it is.
Yep. We'll see you soon, man.
There it is.
All right, for Rashad Taylor, Jordan Schultz, I'm Joe Fisher. We will catch you guys next Sports Sunday, and we will catch Rashad again very, very soon, I'm sure.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you for everybody that is always listening every Sunday, and we will catch you the following Sunday. Peace.